Hi, my name is Sydney, and I'm very excited to be actually speaking to our author today instead of just talking to them on Discord.
Real. Hi, my name is Maya. We haven't talked about MHA in a very long time.
In a very long time.
Like. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Riley underscore Ann on AO3. I also go just by Riley, too, so whichever one works for you guys. I write mostly MHA fanfiction, but I occasionally go into other fandoms.
Awesome. So we, as I said, are overly excited to speak to an author we have gotten to know well over on our Discord. We were very pleased to learn that she is an author of some of our favorite fandoms, including Jujutsu Kaisen and My Hero Academia. She is funny. She is engaging. We always have a good time when we speak to her, and we're so glad to be talking to her in a longer form. She is the author of Little Yuji, Lavender and Honey, and Bittersweet Lightning. Welcome, Riley Ann!
I'm so excited to be here, and my audio works now. Or a mic, whatever.
Oh, good. Thank God. Yeah, we are so happy to have you. It feels like we've kind of gotten to know you, but like not really, you know? Like, we haven't really, like, spoken, and this has been something that we've been, like, getting up to of, like, okay, like, next interview after this, yada yada, you know?
Oh, that's cool. That's exciting. I'm super excited to talk to you.
We said, it's been a while, I think, since we've talked to somebody who writes, like, anime fanfiction. Yeah. Like, we are always happy to talk about anime because it's, like, our main point of contact.
It's our bread and butter.
Yeah, that's our starting ground, you know? It's our birthing center. So, but to jump into the episode, I just, you know, our very first question off the top is just tell us a little bit about your relationship with fanfiction. How did you find it? How did you start reading and writing it?
So, it's actually been fairly recent, like maybe mm-hmm. like maybe 2 years ago. I feel like I probably always knew that it existed, but like I just never mm-hmm. really like got into it. But then I got on TikTok because of COVID, and then I kept like just seeing things or like AO3. I was like, what's this? So then I somehow ended up getting on like recommendation TikToks because I was already interacting with anime in general on there. So I was like, oh, I'll start reading it. So I started reading it, and then it was about maybe about 9-ish to a year, month, mm-hmm. 9 months to about a year after that. I started writing. I was lots of like in real life things, and it was a really good like outlet to that mm-hmm. and kind of work through things. And so that's how I started writing it, and it's been really fun.
What was the first, like, fan fiction that, like, you just needed to write? Like, whatever pairing or fandom it was that you were like, I just need to start writing.
Oh, that was, it was still MHA, and that mm-hmm. was my Shinzo and Bakugo, my Shinbaku that I love so much.
Okay. And do you have a longer history with anime even before the whole fan fiction journey?
A little bit. I remember, like, my older brother was really into it, so, like, sometimes I would go in there. Like, we have, like, a 10-year age gap, so, like, mm-hmm. I didn't hang out with him all the time, but he, like, I remember him watching, like, Cowboy Bebop, and he would watch, like, Trigun, and sometimes he'd mm-hmm. let me watch it with him. But probably the first one that I actually watched for myself was, I watched Inuyasha.
Ooh, great anime. Love.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually never finished it because it's just such a long anime. It's like, it's not as long as something like One Piece or even Naruto, but it's still like, I think there's like 8 or 9 seasons or something like that. And my sister and I started it. I started it first originally, like got 2 seasons in, stopped watching it. My sister and I decided to restart it. And then like, we just never finished that last season.
Yeah, I think there's, because I've watched it, like, 5 times. Mm-hmm. There's 167 in, like, the original series, and then they came back with that, the final act, where they finally finished it when nobody thought they were going to. And I think it has, 27, maybe? Maybe a little bit less. I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that. Have you watched the new show that they made with, like, their children?
I watched, like, the first, like, 5-ish episodes, and I didn't really get into it. So,
that's like the consensus. I haven't finished the anime, so of course I'm not gonna start like the new thing with their children and stuff like that. But that's like the consensus. It's not awesome, but it's not horrible. It's just like it is what it is.
Yeah. Like I'm not gonna go out of my way to finish it, but if I ever was a day and I just wanted to like have something on and I had absolutely mm-hmm. nothing else, like I wouldn't like not watch it, but like
right.
It probably won't happen.
Sure, that's fair. It is, like, a very interesting phenomenon that's happening in anime right now with, like, I don't know what it is about, like, obviously Inuyasha's been over with for a very long time, but even something like Naruto that went on for a really long time, and now they have, like, Boruto, which is about Naruto's kid, and then we have the Inuyasha new show with all of the children in Inuyasha with, like, Susomaru's and Inuyasha's kid, and it's just like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, like, because I watched Naruto. See, mm-hmm. I watched that as an adult, so I don't have, like, nostalgia with that one.
Sure.
And I couldn't really get into the Boruto.
I have never watched Naruto to begin with, so it's not my...
I feel like it's, like, the Disneyification
sure.
of, like, Eastern entertainment, where they're just like, oh, people like this, we'll monetize the fuck out of it and just, like, keep it going.
Yeah.
That's how it sort of feels to me.
Because do they have manga of the, like, children, like, of Boruto? And
yeah, no, he started, they do. I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm yeah. wrong, but...
Yeah, no, Boruto does have the manga. I don't think okay. he originally started it, but then he, at some point, took over.
Right. But yeah, it is a... I think you might be right of, like, the Disneyification of, like, you want more? I'll give you more.
Yeah, kind of.
Which is already so shocking of a show like Naruto, which is so long to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, why not? So, going through your AO3 and your published fics, I have noticed that you write a lot of explicit fanfiction. It seems to be your favorite, and I love a good smutty fic. So, is that something that you, when you started writing fanfiction, being like, I am going to write smut, this is what I'm going to be doing, this is something that I think I will really enjoy?
I mean, yeah, it never really, like, I guess in my head, I never considered not having it, at least, mm-hmm. like, I mean, some of them are just smutty one-shots, but right, even my yeah. long fics, like, they're in it. Like, I've kind of always read things, probably was young when I shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like those little those Western Fabio cover ones. I read that in, like, middle school.
Right, like I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, like, and I feel like adult relationships, you know, typically most of them, like, they have, like, it's part of a thing. So, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I never even second guessed it. I just kind of did it.
Right.
Just started writing it.
Yeah, because you do have, like, a mix of longer form content with one shots. Do you prefer writing smut in the long form where it's a part of a big story? Or is it, you're just like, I love cranking out a good smut one shot from time to time, just getting it out there?
It just kind of depends. Like, if because most of my one shots, they're not super, like, emotional. It's just like, mm-hmm. oh, I have this horny idea, I'm just gonna write it.
Yeah.
But, like, I do prefer the long fics if I'm wanting to, like, have that, like, I don't know how to have that build up of that emotional mm-hmm. smut without writing a long fic.
Right.
So it just kind of depends on what I'm going for, which I haven't written a long fic in a while. I got into, like, actual fandom, like, interacting with people.
Oh yeah.
So where you see where I switch to lots of one-shots, that's what happened. Like, I was like, I'm going to go on Twitter, I'm going to see what happens here. And mm-hmm. then, like, I found a bang, so then, which was actually Shinbaku Bang. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of started branching out. I discovered Discord.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. So, like, I found a whole bunch of people. I'm like, oh, they like what I like. This is, like, this mm-hmm. is really cool. So then I just kind of tapered off of the long fix because I started doing events. I'm, like, in exchanges. So, like, it's just a fun, good time. So,
yeah. So you also, we've mentioned, you know, Baku Akatsuki, you multi-ship a lot in your fan fictions, especially with Baku Akatsuki. Like you said, you did Shinkami, but you've also written Kiribaku. You know, when it comes to multi-shipping, is he the only character that you multi-ship? Like, are there some characters that you only ship with one character? Like, it's a very exclusive ship. And then there are other characters that you multi-ship with? Or do you just have fun playing with those different relationships dynamics where you're just like, oh, I think these two would be together, even if they really haven't communicated with each other in the canon content, or if they have communicated and I want to see that a little further?
I pretty well multi-ship, like, everybody with anyone. Mm-hmm. I just don't really write it. Like, I feel like I can really get into Bakugo's head, so I feel like I write him one of the like maybe like the best, maybe not the best, but I relate to him most in my head, and like him and Shinzo, so like that's why I write mostly them, and if I people see mostly of like my Bakubo, but like I do multi-ship everybody. It's just I don't feel like I can connect to the character as well to like to write it.
Right. Is that the only thing that stops you, I guess, from writing it, from writing the multi-ship? Or like, what is it about a ship that makes you take it from your head to like paper?
I don't know. Like, it's just.
Sure. No, that's totally fine. I guess I only ask because it's multi-shipping is not a huge thing I do. It's very much like, this person is for this person, and like there are some things here and there that like I multi-ship with, but like, I think it's always interesting to see people who multi-ship a lot, and it's just like, especially when it comes to like it's multi-shipping this one character with other characters, and it's frequently with this singular character of just like what it is about that you like about the dynamics with this one character that like makes you really like them enough to write fan fiction with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So like I guess with like the like in general like let's see. I would say I'm a multi-shipper meet like as someone's like, "Oh, like this one rare pair that I'm kind of getting into is Shinzo and Kirishima." But
Okay.
I mean, I can usually be like, "Okay, I can see it." I like in my head like it doesn't seem out as outlandish, but I do have like my favorites. Like some of like the rare pairs like if I came across it, I would read it. I would probably enjoy it, but like I wouldn't like in my head it's not like I don't want to say good enough, but like
Sure.
there's not enough substance for me to write. But like with Bakugo, like my one of my favorite parts about like with Shinbaku, I personally don't communicate well,
Okay.
so I like the idea of them kind of like seeing that in each other and like working around it in like mostly healthy way. So I feel like if I can ship like mostly with Bakugo because he's my favorite. If I feel
Right.
like they would kind of work with him, I can pretty well. I think I could write it because like one of the I have written a few Baku Deku, but like in my head, I don't actually think they would work very well
Sure,
because
okay.
I feel like they communicate in two different ways, and I'm not sure that they would actually mesh very well. I do like them as platonic. Like I do think they would be like really good friends after, as an adult. So,
But it needs to at least make sense to you logically. You're not just kind of
yeah.
crack shipping anyone anywhere.
No, I mean, I will in my head, but I wouldn't write
Right.
it. Yeah.
Are you a purveyor of even like I feel like with multi-shipping, there comes to a point where you're very rare pair shipping as well, because there's always going to be like those one or two or maybe even three really popular pairs with a character, but then like after that you're kind of just going off into rare pair territory. So are you also a purveyor of like rare pair ships along with your multi-shipping?
Yeah, oh, I really like rare pairs. I do like them.
Yeah.
So I encourage them. There's actually an exchange that's in the works. Like not me doing it, but it's a rare pair exchange. Like so like for your offers, cuz like when you sign with an exchange in AO3, you have to like put in certain relationships. Like you won't be able to offer any or like request any unless there's less than 300 fix of them. As like the
Okay.
main one, so
Interesting.
I do like the rare pairs, because I think it's interesting to kind of see like if it's not me or if someone else is saying it. Like I just think it's really interesting, and I wonder how they came to that, and I can usually get with it.
Right. Has there ever been a rare pair that you've either like read fan fiction about or even saw fan art that you've turned out to really prefer more than like a mainstream ship, I'll say?
Probably. Let me think. So it might be a little depending on if you age it up, but I like Tokoyami and Hawks.
Okay.
So I'm kind of getting behind that, which I still like Dobby Hawks, but like I really like that one. But I also
Right.
I also really like Aizawa and Bakugo, so I don't think that's a big surprise.
Right. You know, I was going to ask, there is, I've got, you know, gone through AO3, read a couple things, and from time to time, you do have those, like, either, like, age different couples or things that you kind of have to add warnings to. So what is your perspective on writing, you know, this fanfiction, this fiction of these, like, as people would say, taboo, you know, tropes or taboo ships, and, like, the kind of backlash they have received in the last couple months with the general AO3 public?
I have been lucky enough that I haven't personally kind of been hit with that, but I don't know. I just feel like you should let people write what they want to write. It's fun. I get it, but like I just feel like they should like mind their own business.
Because I'm just assuming here. So like if I'm wrong, but you just kind of like exploring those ship dynamics, and you're just like, you know, it's nothing of like any ill will, but it's just like I am interested in the ship dynamic, and I'm interested in this trope that like maybe is like illegal in real life, but who cares, it's fiction, you know.
Yeah it's fun to explore those things and kind of see how that would work out, because most like all my Aibaku I do have are just like smutty one shots,
right?
But I actually do want to explore an actual like, I don't want to say serious, like, okay, like plot driven one. I actually do want to write one and kind of like explore that, because in all reality, I don't think Aizawa would actually sleep with a student. So I think it would be fun to actually take it like as a plot and kind of like and like quote unquote like real life of what it would be in like in this setting. So I think that would be fun.
Some of those are even just the most fun to read once you like get over the taboo-ness of it, of like, oh no, I don't think I'm supposed to be reading this, of like, you know, just like let it go for a second and just realize that it's fiction and just be like, actually, like this is quite well written and it's really quite good.
Yeah some of the most well written things I've read has been like ships that like people would not be interested in, and they would like, because I like the Totocest, that stuff. And some of them are really, yeah. And like some of them are actually really, I'm not, oh my God, I say that as like saying, like, I'm shocked that it would be well written. But that's not what I meant. But I mean, people would probably be like, oh, well, it's not going to be good, but it really is. So, and if you can, like, people, you know, which I don't blame them. I mean, but if you get over that, I mean, there really are really good fics. But again, I mean, I don't judge them for not wanting to read it, so I would hope that they wouldn't judge me for wanting to read it.
What has been, if you, you know, just off the top of your head, like, the craziest ship that you've come across or even read while going through the like, depths of AO3 looking for, you know, a rare pair or, you know, maybe a taboo trope topic?
NG and any of his kids, maybe.
I think anything. I'm not a huge fan of Endeavor myself, so shipping him with anyone, even like a lot of people ship him with Hawks, and I'm like, why?
I've recently got into a little bit of Enho. Yeah, because before I was like, I didn't like hate it. I was just like, I don't really get it. But right. I have this thing. If I see just one like good fan art of a ship, I'm like, okay, I'm getting on this train.
Sure.
And so I somehow stumbled upon like Inhawk's fan art, and I personally like the dynamic that it would be like, you know, late in life, like baby gay Engi kind of, and like just like discovering himself with Hawks, and he's helping him through that. So like on my end, like coming from it from that direction, I'm like, okay, I get it. I mean, that makes sense to me. I can get behind that one.
I mean, even the trope, or I guess the concept of like younger person, you know, Hawks is definitely in his 20s, but, like, a younger person meeting his, like, idol for his whole life, and then they, like, fall in love or whatever. I think that's a good trope, but I just can't get over Endeavor as a character.
That's just me, fair.
Personally.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't, like, I probably wouldn't, like, I do have a few in Hawks, but, like, they were, like gifts for people.
Okay.
I definitely wouldn't, like, sit down and write a whole long fic of them, but, like,
right.
I mean, if they were, like, if I was looking for something and I came across it, like, I wouldn't avoid it.
Yeah, I can get behind Hawks Dobby because, like, I can understand them being both, like, traumatized, like, they both have broken pasts and they've gone through things, or even, like, the headcanon of, like, they were childhood friends of some dynamic and then, like, you know, Dobby disappeared and it was just like, we've never seen, like, I can get behind that. I think that's saying a lot, especially for someone who I'm in love with Hawks, and Hawks is just, like, in my own head, I'm like, he's just mine, he's just for me. And then sometimes I'm like, all right, this Hawks Dobby fan art is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I actually like that ship when it's more of like Toya, like if it's like a pro hero Toya AU or like a civilian one.
Yeah,
I feel like I like the ship more when it's that way.
That's fair. I haven't read a whole ton of fanfic, I'll say, for the ship in either way, villain or hero, but I do see the fan art from time to time, and I've gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, it's pretty well done, and I understand it. And I know not a ton of people are into the YN or the self-shipping aspect in a way that, like, in my community I am. I'm like, he's mine.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Another reason why I don't, like when it's actually like canon, like villain Dobby, like a lot of times they're like a mean that like they're like it's like a very rough mean dynamic between them, and I don't like it. Whereas like if it's like an AU where he's like a pro hero, it's not like it's like affectionate aggression rather than like the actual just like hateful. So that's another reason I kind of geared toward that one.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, and some people just really enjoy, like, the true enemies to lovers aspect of, like, not even just rivals where you have that playful kind of anger towards each other, but, like, true just, like, full hatred for each other. Like, sometimes that's just how some people cup the tea, you know? They're like, I really love that hate fucking, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I have already thought about this. I couldn't write a true enemies to lovers, because I don't... I don't think really? I don't have the skills, I don't think.
Okay. Like,
because actually Shinbaku is another one I had to be careful with, because sometimes they're just like, it's just like that, the like hateful enemies part.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would capture it well trying to write it.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, getting into that, I guess, you know, is there a, you know, our question that we give to all of our guests, you know, is there a trope that you have yet to write that you would want to write? And on the flip side, is there a trope that you would never touch? Is that the enemies to lovers for you?
I don't think I would say I would never try it. I would have to like put out like a time and energy into it that I wouldn't have right now.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would never do it, but like, I don't know, like, on one side, I'm like, I don't think I could do it. But another side, I'm like, I kind of want to try it.
Right.
So,
yeah, this was, I was really, I was trying to think, because you have such a large back catalog of work. And obviously, we've been speaking in our Discord. You're one of our lovely patrons. You know, trying to really think of, like, what would she not write? Because you've written so much stuff that, like, I feel like many people wouldn't write. And even on, you've written Omegaverse, which is like the number one answer for this question from a lot of our guests, and even you've written that, so it's like a question like that actually stumped me of like, what is she even gonna say for this?
Maybe like I don't think I would ever write a heavily miscommunication trope. I don't like those.
Yeah,
like I don't mind like mild, but like the miscommunication trope that's just like borderline like weaponized incompetence, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And amnesia, I don't get into amnesia. Which I know is really random, probably, yeah. But like, I don't, it gives me like anxiety reading it, and I can't handle it. So I wouldn't write that one.
Interesting. What is it about the amnesia trope that gives you a sense of discomfort about it?
I guess it's just, I guess I can say the one that doesn't have, like, even both of them, I don't know. I feel like it would be a very stressful situation and very painful.
Right.
And, like, which I'm sure that, I mean, most of the time it probably has comfort at the end, but I can't handle the no comfort in that time.
Right.
I just can't.
I mean, no, it makes sense. I feel like there's some trope or AU that, like, maybe, like, a lot of people like, because, like, I think amnesia is, like, a very sort of, not, like, the most popular, but, like, a popular trope.
It's frequent.
It's frequent. Yeah. But even, like, you know, there's, Maya's not a huge fan of coffee shop AU, where it's, like, some people fucking love coffee shop AU, you know? I don't know what mine is. I think it's just heavy angst. I know there's a lot of people who love angst, and they love feeling pain, and I'm just, like, I never want to feel pain a day in my life.
Yeah, I tend to, like, outside conflict for the angst, whereas internal, and I feel like the amnesia is too much internal angst for me to work through.
I can see that. I can understand that. Yeah. No, that's interesting. Yeah, because I was sitting here being like, I don't even know what she's going to say to this, but amnesia. Okay, I don't think we've gotten that answer before. That's a good one. And then I guess on the other side, because you have written so much, is there something that you have yet to write that you really want to?
My only, like, my first answer is a horny answer.
Tell me the horny answer.
I want to write OV position. I want to do that one eventually.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, I like branching out.
I can't say that I've never read an OV position fan fiction. I definitely have. Interesting. What is it about the, and if people don't know, OV position is basically like egg laying, like either laying eggs inside of someone or just laying eggs in general.
I don't know. My brain's decided that it seems hot, so I just want to write it. I do want to get back into like long fics. I do want to get that, even though I guess I've already written it, but like I haven't done it in a while, so that's one. I feel like I have explored a lot. I want to get another fandom. I want to write Bleach eventually because I like Rimichi.
Okay, you've watched Bleach? No, you haven't. What am I thinking of that you've watched? I don't know either. For some reason, I was like, Maya's watched Bleach. Nope, never mind. I have never watched Bleach either. What is it? Because there was a question that I had, leading up. Like, I had a question, you know, in my docket that's just like, is there another fandom that you would like to try? Because you've written for, like, Jujutsu Kaisen and Skate the Infinity and My Hero Academia, but Bleach. Okay, so what is it about Bleach that intrigues you so much to write fanfiction about it? Or wanting to write fanfiction about it?
I just really, like, I really like the show. I really love the premise. And I like how, like, the main character, Ichigo, I like how he's not a hero because he wants to be. It's just out of necessity. And I like that concept.
Okay.
So I like him. And then I usually pick a, like, my baby girl from a fandom. Like, Bakugo is my baby girl from hero. And Grimmjow is my baby girl from Bleach. So then I'm just like, ship them together. I don't know.
Right. They're like, they've just been taking up a lot of headspace right now.
Yeah. I like the emotionally constipated character that doesn't know how to process feelings, and they show it through aggression. It's my bread and butter.
Do you like the tag? There's like a very famous in the My Hero fandom that's like Bakugo is bad at feelings tag.
Yeah, I've used it quite a bit, I think.
Yeah. there's a lot of really good ones that, like, I can only really think of for My Hero that are like Bakugo's bad at feelings, Bakugo swears a lot. There's one about Kirishima, but like there's a couple in like the My Hero fandom that like I see frequently on, like, you know, especially like Kiribaku fanfiction.
Yeah, idiots to lovers is really common with Bakugo ships.
I think it's something like Hiroshima's a Sunshine Man or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I do like the My Hero ships. I think they're not the My Hero ships, but My Hero tags that they use on fanfiction. I think it's just been so funny that like somebody somewhere did it once and then it caught on like wildflower, and now there's so many that you can click on like Bakugo's Bad at Feelings and there's like hundreds of fanfictions that have used that same tag.
He's a fun character to explore.
Yeah, yeah. Maya did like a whole character study episode early in our
like second or third month.
Yeah, like yeah, I think our second month actually.
I mean, I listened to it.
She's like, I know.
No, not like that way. But it has been a while though. But yeah, I do remember that one. I was really excited about it. I was like,
yeah.
He gets a lot of hate, and it makes me sad.
Maya did hate him for a time.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the point for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand where sometimes people, they have to see some of the growth before they can, like the person. And whereas mm-hmm. some other people, before it happens, they can already see it happening, so they can like him faster.
Sure. And I mean, like, Bakugo is a character in which, like, I don't really think that in My Hero they would have really had this teenage boy just stay, like, a fucking villainous asshole the whole time. Like, clearly there was going to be, like, a character arc for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for some people it took too long.
Yeah, yeah. And some people, like, they don't, he's still 15. His brain isn't, none of their brains are big enough to process big emotions.
Especially his, he's just like, he's like, it's all for Boom up there. Like, but yeah, going back to your fanfiction, is there one, because I feel like with fanfiction authors, there's always one or like several fanfictions in the back of their mind that they're like, I need to write that. Like, you know, multi-chapter fix or something of like, who knows if I'm ever, Maya's like not letting
the
me look
I
at.
I haven't touched in 2 years.
Yeah. Of like, there's something in the back of your mind of like, I need to write this. This is an idea I've been thinking for a really long time, especially that you haven't written a multi-chapter fic in a long time. Is there a fic in the back of your head that, like, either for, like, My Hero or Jujutsu Kaisen or Bleach, that you've been like, I need to write this eventually. I'm, like, itching to write it. Like, I'm thinking of this plot all the time.
It would be a sequel for my other Shinbaku multi-chapter fic, Comfortably Numb.
Okay.
So that one's been on my brain for a really long time. And I'm actually, because I don't outline. I'm a pantser. So, but
very good. That was my next question. Are you a pantser or a planner?
But what I want to do with the sequel, I'm going to have to outline and like think it through. Because I don't mind, I guess, spoiling myself. But I want to do one where Bakugo accidentally like stumbles on one of Shinzo's underground missions.
Okay.
Which I read a few of them like that. So, and I think without reading the first one, it might be a little bit over your head. Not over your head, but like you don't get like the background of it. Mm-hmm. But with the first one, the whole thing was you know, Shinzo has found his safe place in Bakugo when he's not on the mission. So it's, I really want to explore how he would handle his safe space being in this volatile, very strict, where he has to keep his composure, like how he would handle having them both in the same room. So that one is what that's been on my mind for a really long time, that I want to, after I get caught up on like events and things, because I jumped into fandom headfirst and signed up for so many things. I don't
that
have.
That happens for a lot of us, you know? We don't just take the little kitty end. We're just like, ooh, what is this? And then click on the wrong thing and suddenly you're drowning in the deep end.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So after I get caught up with that, I want to do that sequel, which I actually encountered someone like in a server, like they had already read it like before, and they were all excited that I was there too. So that was really cool.
Yeah, that seems like a really cool moment of like, I know you.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like all excited. They're like, Riley's here? I'm like, I am. Would you like to brain rot with me? And like they're all having right. So like, I mean, I'm assuming it's really exciting on their end, but like I was so excited. I was like, this has never happened to me before. Right. So that was cool. So I'm gonna have that person kind of brainstorm with me on, like, because I'm not great at, like, the plotty plot.
Uh-huh.
Like, the actual mission part. So, like,
yeah.
They're gonna be helping me with that. I'm not great at it.
Yeah, I mean, for any pantser, as a still somewhat former, who knows at this point, pantser, it's really nice to have a plotter there to be like, okay, so this is kind of how I do it, and then you're like, oh, solid, so I have to actually think of stuff, and it makes writing so much easier, and, like, it's very helpful.
Yeah, one of another person, another server that runs this other exchange I do, they like, their outlines are like 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how do you have that much in an outline? But then they're like, well, then basically when I go to write it, like, I just, it's like, it's really, really fast. I'm like, my brain just can't, like, yeah. I don't know. My brain is like, okay, if you're going to be writing all that already, why don't you just write it? Like, that's how my brain works.
I'm the same thing of, like, why write outline when I could just write story in here?
Yeah.
On the page already.
Yeah.
But I was looking at me like, I'm absolutely insane.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
Her brain is wired so much differently.
Yeah. I want to be able to find that middle ground, though. So. Because sometimes it's not fun.
No, absolutely. It's not fun, especially when you're writing, like, a multi-chapter fic, and then you run into the moment where, like, you have no more inspiration, there's no more, like, even, like, the last bit of fuel that you're running off of, and then you're just like, oh.
Yeah, I actually have one of those on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's my uncompleted Dobby Hawks fic that, because usually, like, all my other past long fics, like, I had this, like, scene in my head, I was like, okay, this is what I want to write, this is what I have to get to. Mm-hmm. And usually, and then all the others past ones, it was like maybe like second part of the fic. But like the scene that I thought of and I was like, oh, I got to write this, was the first scene for that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote it and now it just kind of like it tapered off. And I don't know what I don't want to abandon it, but I don't know. I was thinking about rewriting it, but I don't know. That one, it's the back burner right now.
Right. I mean, it's very difficult, especially since fanfiction is a hobby of, like, do I want to be putting in my time and energy that I could be putting into, like, other things in life that are, like, you know, my actual job or, like, you know, my other hobbies or hanging out with my friends or even just, like, writing a new fic that you're just, like, there are so many things in life that are, you have to, like, make that conscious decision of, like, do I really want to be rewriting this? And then, like, going forth with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I work full time, and I have 2 young kids. My son's 6, and my daughter's 3, so mm-hmm. I'm running around with them, too. So, like, whereas I do want to do something with that, but these other fics, I'm a little bit more excited about, so I'm going to, like, what time I can find, I'm going to do those. But it feels a little unfair to the ones that have it bookmarked. But, I mean, I haven't given up on it if anyone happens to listen.
There is. The more time that passes for me actually, like, publishing fanfiction and talking to other fanfiction artists, the more I'm like, you know what? I completely understand. And I will never judge anyone for, like, giving up on a work.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many things happen. So many outside things happen. Where it is just, this is a hobby, and, like, you know, sometimes just your love for the fandom dies after some time because it takes so long, especially with writing a multi-chapter, it's not just a one-shot, or even just, like, the head rot of, like, I've actually thought of this new idea, and I'm more excited about it than the one I'm already writing.
Nope, that happens to me a lot.
Yeah. So the more that time passes, the more I'm like, you know what, it is really tragic for the people who were reading this, but the more I'm like, I completely understand and will never judge anybody for giving up on a work, because it's like, it's quite astonishing that works ever get finished. Like, long form, extremely long works ever get finished on AO3.
Yeah, the person that runs the one exchange I do, they have an OT4 fic that's like 4,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how did you do that? Like, that 4,000.
Even like the ones that are like 300,000, or the thing, a thing of Vikings that's like over 1,000,000 words of like, I just want to get into his brain of like the determination and like the skill set of pacing yourself.
I think it's just an attention span thing.
Sure.
I think it'd be very interesting to do like a study of like what kind of students different fanfiction writers were like in high school, because mm-hmm. I think that would probably be like, right. Oh, the ones who are in like the top 10 percentile mm-hmm. with very consistent study habits are probably the ones writing these 100,000
they got discipline
words. Oh, 100%. And then there's like the me, the burnout gifted kid that's like, I'll write every once in a while, I guess every couple years I'll come back,
mostly one shots,
right?
Yeah. I never had to study in high school because I just got this stuff. So I got to college and I'm like, how do you study? Because I need to study now, but I don't know how. And
it's crazy that they don't teach those skills, truly and honestly.
I mean, they probably tried to, but I was like, I don't need to learn it.
I just
know the stuff. They probably tried to give me the tools and I just didn't take them.
I can also see that, like, that difference of like top 10% of students who do the, in the same people who like do several drafts. Versus, like, you know, all of us being, like, one draft only. That's what you're getting.
I hated having to do rough drafts in school. Because I'm like, let me just write the one. I just want to write the one.
It's good enough, I promise you. It's good as it is, you know?
Yeah.
So something that's interesting that I thought while writing these questions for your interview today was that your AO3 name is partially your real name. And a lot of people, they purposely try to get as far away from their real lives as possible when writing fanfiction, you know? That's why, like, I don't know if we've mentioned it before, but when we have guests on the show, sometimes you are emailing us and we learn your real names. And it's like it's an honor and a gift that I cherish deeply. And it's like, whenever we have guests on, we're like, do you want to just be your username, or do you, and some people don't mind using their names. Some people are like, leave me the fuck out of this, you know, like my real life is not, and you're just like, that's totally understandable. So, you know, was using your real name as part of your AO3 username a conscious decision you made, or just like, because maybe you are, you know, not a child coming into fandom and that whole like stranger danger kind of aspect of the internet?
Yeah, I think that's mostly it. Cause even when like we didn't have the money to have internet when I'm 27. I haven't mentioned that before. So I am 27. Mm-hmm. The only time I ever had internet was at school, or like maybe at a friend's house. So like I wasn't really like I knew the dangers of it, but like I didn't really get exposed to it. And then I enter fandom as an adult. I'm like, whatever.
Right.
I was like, I'm not creative usernames.
Who needs to hide their identity? Not me.
Yeah, so people will be like, oh, this isn't my, like, I get it, though. Like, I get people that don't want it. But, like, I'm like, I can't relate. I don't know. I just, I never even stopped to think and consider not to use it.
Mm-hmm. Is it also something, because I know for a lot of people who are guests on the show, one of the greatest compliments that I think we will ever receive is that because of this, they're telling people in their real lives. And it's one of the things, their AO3 username is not even close to things like their social media username, because they just want to distance themselves as much as possible. Is fan fiction a thing that you are public about in, you know, a way that maybe some people who started reading it when they were younger saw the hatred kind of towards it and decided, like, this is a secret of mine?
Yeah, see, it was never secretive for me.
Mm-hmm.
Since I didn't get into it when I was younger. Like, my best friend, actually, the first, like, she started working with me. It was, like, the first night I mentioned, I was like, yeah, I write it. And I'm like, oh. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I think that's another thing. Like, it's never been, like, this dark secret that I was planning on, like, keeping to myself. I was gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I was excited about it, and I figured I would probably tell people. So yeah, that's another reason. Like, I was never in a time where it was quote unquote bad to read it, or you know,
right.
I found like I found it through TikTok, so it was mainstream by then,
as mainstream as it has been ever, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So it didn't have that negativity when I first got into it.
Right. Do you think, just from your own personal opinion alone, obviously, do you think that it's better to enter fandom in a later age in life, you know, late 20s, even 30s or 40s? Like, obviously, Maya and I will never know that. We entered fandom pretty young. Like, I would say, like, 12, 13. So we'll never know, like, what our life would have been if we were in our late 20s being like, what is this fan fiction thing on TikTok all about?
I kind of go back at, like, it's like, I'm glad I didn't, because of all, like some of the things, like the pod of your episodes that I've, you know, gone back and listened to that I wasn't there for, like, mm-hmm. with, like, fanfiction.net and, like, and that negativity. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like I missed out on it also. So I feel like I wanted to experience that, because I feel like mm-hmm. being as a newbie, I'm like, oh, I feel like I came in, like, late, like, mm-hmm. like, a few steps behind other people, so then I felt like I was behind a little bit. So I do kind of wish I was in it when I was younger, but again, I kind of glad I got to avoid things like the milkfic,
right?
So like, I kind of go back and forth on it. Like, I don't think it's bad to get into it at later in life, mm-hmm. but like, I think it'd be nice to know, like, what would have been. But, like,
right.
I'm so happy and content, like, now that I kind of got mm-hmm. over that, being, like, the newbie. I think it is good. Like, my brain was, like, pretty well developed. I already knew who I was. So, right. like, I think I was able to, like, go in and be, like, okay, this isn't real life. Like, I can, you know, these are separate. And I don't know if I started as a younger, like, I would have been able to do that as well. So,
sure.
So, like, I feel like it's pros and cons on both sides of that.
For sure. Even what you mentioned, like, you know, as of time of recording, Smosh has gotten back together and they had a big interview on Anthony Bidia's channel, and at the end of the interview, they mentioned the milkfic. They're like, the end of the episode of this YouTube video is like, you know, oh, people are gonna start writing fanfictions about this again, you know, just hopefully it's not the milkfic. And it was like a PTSD war flashback of like, why did you ever mention the milkfic? We're like, there's gonna be so many people who are like, what the fuck are you talking? And it's like not the same reaction in the slightest. But even like, there were people who did enter fanfiction or fandom as a child who like somehow missed all of that completely, and they're the chosen lucky ones.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that existed until your episodes, or like the My Immortal didn't know existed until the podcast. I was like, oh, neat.
Right. But I feel like fandom, the right fandoms, I can say, because I'm not going to say that fandom can't be toxic, you know, but the right fandoms will always like make you feel included, because it's all about community at the end of the day. Like, that's why we're all here, is we all like the same show, or we all like the same character, or the same movie, or the same book, or whatever. And it's just like, so yes. You know,
yeah. I was very fortunate that when I first like, not just because in the beginning I was just posting on AO3 and like that's all it was, mm-hmm. but then when I started branching out and actually meeting people, I was very fortunate that I fell into a group that is accepting and yeah. And like that. Yeah, I'm happy I was able to find them first, because I know there mm-hmm. are parts of the MHA fandom that aren't like that. So
for
I'm
sure
I'm very glad and thankful that I was able to avoid that and find my niche little corner that I can thrive in. And I've found so many friends through it that if I was ever had the opportunity, I would definitely meet in person.
Yeah, no, that is just really nice to hear, especially from. Just being in fandom's so nice to be in when it's good. Like, it's just so very nice to be a part of something that like is positive and supportive, and like they help you write better and they give you advice and they share it. Because like, no one at the peak of fandom, at the peak of feralness, like, no one else is really gonna understand, like, your true feelings of, like, just being so obsessed and, like, so just absolutely about this show, about this character, in a way that you cannot think of anything else.
Yeah, like, I can be totally not normal about Bakugo or Shinzo, and they're gonna match my energy or even go above
it's
a good time.
It's always a good time. Getting into the final few questions I have for you, what is the best writing advice that you have ever come across?
I would say, because I, at first, when I first started, I had these weird, like, standards that I was putting on myself, like, oh, this chapter has to be, like, this word count for it to matter, and it was, I feel like if some people, if they did that, would be very intimidating, and they wouldn't want to do it. So, I cannot remember how they worded it, but they were like, because they were talking about drabbles. I was like, I don't know if I could do that with that small word count. And they were like, well, you can write moments and not, like, you can just write the moment. So I think that stuck with me. So it's not even my, and I probably botched the way they worded it anyway, but that's the part that stuck with me. So, you can just write the little moments. You can write that, you know, 200, 300, little drabble, and you can get started from there. So that was, so, like, I don't know if that's super helpful, but that's something that stuck with me as, like, you know, that can be your stepping stone.
No, I can completely, like, there's a reason why, like, things like one shots exist. They're very, like, they're simple, but they can be so well written, but, like, they are a stepping stone because it is easy to get into fandom and see these magnificent, almost, again, a miracle they exist, multi-chapter, 100,000 word plus fan fiction to be like, oh, that's what I need to be writing.
And you don't have to, because there's lots, like, the, like, people sometimes, they want that tasty little morsel, they want that, you know, 1k fic, they want that triple drabble. Sometimes they don't have the spoons for a longer one. So that was another thing, you know, being in that server that was very helpful with me. And some of the most beautiful comments I have gotten has been on some of those really short ones. So, like, quantity does not mean quality. So I would just, like, I guess that's something I would really like to impart on people. Be like, you go write your little drabble, because someone out there is going to read it and they're going to really, really like it. And
absolutely.
And it doesn't mean that it's not good enough because of the word count. So that would be it.
No, I really like that. I like that a lot. And we also have a YM's choice, so a Riley's choice of the fics you have written, which is a lot. So this could be, you know, going through your memory palace of all the fics that you've written. What is your favorite and why?
It would be my Comfortably Numb one.
Okay.
That my Shinbaku multi-chapter. I just, I don't know, it's my baby. I feel like it's not my first one, so, like, I had a little bit more practice with it, so, like, I was more into my style. And I just feel like I did it, like, I just feel like I did a really good job with it. It's my baby, so that one's my favorite.
Nice. And then our last question for you to round out this episode is, what is your favorite fan fiction or fan fictions that you would recommend the most?
Okay, so I have two. The first one would be, they're both Shinbaku because it's my, I like spreading my Shinbaku agenda when I can.
Absolutely.
Would be Say Yes by Purple_Peony, P-E-O-N-Y. That one's like, I feel like Sydney would like that one a little bit more. It's more fluffy.
Okay.
But the other one, so I equivalated this as, like, I was like, this is our From the Sidelines. Cause, like, that's the one of those.
Oh my God. Amount of recommendations I have for that fan fiction is crazy.
So this one, I feel like that's our Shinbaku version.
Okay.
That would be NyQuil by Useless_Donut. But that one, I always tell people, like, read those tags first, because some of it is really heavy. So I think Maya would like that one more.
Absolutely.
Swag.
So that one, it has some really rough moments, but it's a beautiful story though. I really love it. And I like, that's a fic that if I ever talk to someone that likes Shinbaku, they at least know what it is. So like, that one's pretty popular in our little
community. For sure. I feel like every fandom, every ship has like the pinnacle work that like everyone, you know, everyone knows about 7 minutes. It's never going to be completed.
Oh, never.
Taken down. Everyone knows what it is though. Or like the Boku Waka one, In Another Life.
Oh yeah, yeah, the sad one that I refuse to read. The
sad one. Everyone knows about it. And there's one for, I've heard it, you know, people are like, oh, this is the Reylo equivalent of like, this is the top fic, everyone knows it. You know, this is, everyone knows about the Destiel Vietnam. Like, there's a fic for every fandom and every ship that is like, this is the one that everyone knows. Everyone who loves the ship has read this fic. It's the most popular. Everyone has read it. And it's really just, it's the pinnacle of AO3, is that if you can just be that one fanfic that is like, this is held up in high regard for everyone who likes this ship, you're in it.
Yep. And I've actually interacted with the author, and it's, they actually commented on, they've actually commented on one of my fics, and I was like, I got my email and like I ascended basically. I was like,
absolutely.
I went to my husband. I was like, babe, you don't know who this person is, but they commented, and I'm really excited. And he's like, that's really exciting. I'm happy for you.
Absolutely. You know what? Part of the reason I started this show is to just interact with some of my favorite fan fiction authors of all time. Of just like, now you know who I am. Thank you so much. Like, nothing will compare to when I read a Ready, like the Stephen King It fanfiction from the first year, and the author, like, I had been communicating with the author, and I was like, do you mind if I read your fic? And they were like, absolutely. They were so nice to me. And then afterwards they were like, this was incredible, thank you so much. And I was like, I could have died right then and there, truly and honestly, of like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I totally get it. It's really,
yeah, which is super odd when it's just like, it's the same thing of like when Maya and I get any compliments or whatever, we're like, the fuck are you talking? I can only imagine is the same way for fanfiction authors, of like, thank you so much for gracing me with your presence and your words. I love you so much. And they're just like, I just wrote a gay little fanfiction on the internet. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Cause like, sometimes I think I will be bothering if I, you know, like that, like the useless donut, whenever they, I interact with them sometimes. Cause we're in like a couple mutual servers too. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a bother. But like when that one person with me, with my fic, I'm ecstatic. So
absolutely.
Like my brain is like, nope, it's different.
Yeah.
But it's not.
But it's not. They all act the same, and it's so much different. Hearing someone in, like, even, you know, comments are also always really nice to hear and see, but there's something about like being in that one-on-one interaction of like, oh, it's, I'm not, they're not just numbers anymore, these are real people reading my work, and it's like, holy shit.
yeah it's really cool.
Yes absolutely. So that is unfortunately the end of our episode today, Riley, but thank you so much for being here. Is there anything that you would like to promote? Your AO3, any other writing platform, social media, anything at all?
I'm not a lot of places. My AO3, as it was the Riley _ Anne. My Twitter is like that too, but I'm going to preface with my Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It is problematic, usually.
Okay.
Either things I retweet. I mean, it's not all problematic, but like, you're probably gonna,
from time to time.
It's, if you go into it thinking it's not gonna be there, you're gonna get a jump scare.
Yeah, so, like, follow me on Twitter. Caution regarding.
Yeah, like, if this is the kind of stuff you like, that's what I share. You can come hang out. So I just like to like a warn. Like, if you're not cool about a lot of things, you're not gonna have a good time there.
Absolutely.
But that is there. I like interacting with people on there when it happens.
Amazing. So,
I think that's pretty well like all I use.
Totally fine. People have used less, people have used more. It's all up to fanfiction authors in general. But thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for working with your schedule to be with us. It was delightful to actually be able to speak to you for a change instead of see you in Discord chat rooms.
Yeah, it was really fun being here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.